I call the House Finance meeting to order. Today is Monday, March 16th, 2020, and the time is 3:37. Members present, Representative Knopp, Representative Lebon, Representative Carpenter, Vice Chair Ortiz, Co-Chair Foster, Representative Sullivan Leonard, Representative Josephson, Representative Wohl, Representative Merrick, and myself, Representative Johnston. On today's agenda, we'll be hearing House Bill 235, Alaska Workforce Investment Board allocation. Please silence your cell phones. House Bill 235, an act relating to allocations of funding for Alaska Workforce Investment Board and providing for effective date. Could we please have Representative Wohl and his staff, Ashley Carrick, come up for a bill introduction?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the Finance Committee. My name is Representative Adam Wohl from District 5 in Fairbanks, and I'm here to present with my staff, Member Ashley Carrick, the TVEP reauthorization bill. I have a short prepared statement, and Ms. Carrick will walk through the details of the bill, and we can go over any questions after that. So I'll read the statement here. Good afternoon, members of the Finance Committee. You have before you this afternoon House Bill 235, which would reauthorize the Technical Vocational Education Program, otherwise known as TVEP. This bill takes a portion of the employer contribution to unemployment insurance to provide important funding to technical and education programs across Alaska, including the University of Alaska, the Alaska Technical Center, and the Alaska Vocational and Technical Education Program, along with many others. This bill helps train Alaskans for high-demand industries such as aviation, fisheries, mining, and many others. Due to the continuing the TVEP program will allow educational facilities across the state to keep preparing Alaskans for work during these unexpected times, that is more important than ever. I hope you'll join me in supporting House Bill 235. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. I'd also like to note that Hannah Lager is online with the Department of Labor for any questions you may have about the program allocations or the unemployment contribution. We also have Terry Cothran from the University of Alaska to speak today about the importance of the program to its largest recipient, the University of Alaska. This bill started off as the same version as the previous reauthorization. It did get amended in House Labor and Commerce, and that's the CS you have before you. And we will speak to this in more detail, but some things were changed, and it is my preference to go back to the original form. Amongst many things, the unemployment contribution rate was changed because at the time, unemployment insurance was said to be overfunded, but in light of the COVID-19 coronavirus outbreak, I don't really want to touch the unemployment insurance fund right now because it may be that we need every dollar that's in there. So, and we will go over these details here after the presentation by Ms. Carrick.
Thank you.
For the record, Ashley Carrick, staff to Representative Wohl, and as Representative Wohl stated, this is HB 235, the Technical Vocational Education Program Reauthorization. So first I'd like to just go through a brief history of the TVEP program and then explain in a little more detail the changes that were made in House Labor and Commerce. So this program was established in 2000 to provide non-competitive grant assistance to different education entities in Alaska that were delivering specific vocational and technical training. And in 2014, the legislature increased the amount of funds for TVEP from 0.15% of unemployment insurance to 0.16, and it's stayed at that 2014 level since then. The TVEP program offers training in a variety of competitive industries in Alaska, including aviation, fisheries, mining, transportation, healthcare, and other types of vocational training that are considered essential for Alaska's economy. This chart is a little confusing to look at, but I just wanted to draw your attention to the box on the right side of the chart here. The TVEP portion is contributed to from the employee portion, and this is what's used for distributing funds to the program. If there are more questions about how the TVEP funding gets distributed, Hannah Loggers online, as my boss mentioned, from Department of Labor. And then just looking at a brief history of TVEP recipients over time. In 2000, when the program was established, there were only three recipients of this funding. The University of Alaska received 52% of the fund, Kotzebue received 16%, and Avtec received the other 32%. And then the programs in red are the ones that were added in various years. So in 2001, we added the new recipient of the Galena Project Education Training Center, which is now the Galena Interior Learning Center. In 2004, two new recipients were added, the Southwest Alaska Vocational Education Center, or SAVIC, and the Ute People's Learning Center. Continuing on to 2008, in the next reauthorization, Delta Career Advancement Center, or Progress Partners for Progress in Delta, as it's now called, was added, as well as Amundsen Educational Center in Kenai, the NACTEC program, Northwest Alaska Career and Technical Center, and for a brief period, the University of Alaska Southeast received a separate appropriation, which began in 2008. The current TVEP recipients, which were authorized in 2014 and again in 2017, the same recipients at the same percentage levels were authorized again, were the ones you see on your screen here. Utqiagvik, or Illisogvik College rather, was added in 2014 at 5%. And as you can see over time, the percentage percentage distribution to each of these recipients changed slightly over time to reflect adding new recipients into the program. So in the original bill, the TVEP distributions were exactly the same as the 2014 and then again the 2017 distribution percentages. And you can see how much was distributed in the last, in the previous couple of years. And these are the TVEP distributions in version M of the bill, which was passed through House Labor and Commerce. The changes for that committee substitute, I just wanted to walk through a quick explanation of changes here. In section one of the bill before you, the TVEP contribution rate was changed from 0.16 to 0.18%. This adds to the overall available pool of TVEP funds, and you can find this on page 1, line 7. In section 2, the sunset date for this bill was extended for an additional 2 years. So this program was originally a 3-year sunset, and this new version of the bill before you extends it instead of 2023 to 2025. And that change can be found on page 1, line 13 of version M. In section 2, the version M proposed adding one new allocation of 1.925% for the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center, and this is on page 2, line 13. Because of this change, and you can see that on the bottom line of the chart here, because of that change, allocations for the other institutions are slightly decreased. You can see that on page 2 in lines 4 through 12. And while most allocations for existing statutorily designated institutions are reduced 3.5% from their current statutory amount, the change to the TVAP rate found in Section 1 allowed each institution to see an increase in the overall funds distributed. And this is what you're seeing in this chart when you see the percentage point decrease, but then additional funding over the prior version in funds available for the program this year. Finally, in Section 3 of Version M, this adds a new subsection. And the new subsection I directs that the University of Alaska administer the funds that are allocated towards the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center. So essentially, this allocation for Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center is distributed through the University of Alaska. There's one additional change to the A version of the bill, and that is the retroactivity clause, so that all sections of the bill, including the newly proposed changes in sections 1 and 2, and then in section 3, take effect so that the bill does not take effect until June 30th of 2020. And at this time, Representative Wohl would be happy to take questions as well as myself. We do have, I just wanted to note again, Hannah Lager online from the Department of Labor to answer any technical questions about the TVET program. And we also have another brief presentation from Terry Cothran from the University of Alaska that we would love to have her walk through over the phone.
And we've been joined by Representative Tilton. Would anybody object if we have the university's presentation and then we can ask both presenters questions? Is that all right?
Good plan.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Before we go on, I have a bill hearing in Senate, 4 o'clock. I'll be leaving early. Is it your intent to move this bill today?
No, we'll be having public hearing.
And we'll have another chance then at this point.
And we also will have an amendment deadline.
Yeah.
Would you like to begin your presentation, Terry Cothran?
Yes, thank you, Chair Johnson. Was someone else going to say something? Okay, and also thank you to the members of the Finance Committee for this opportunity to talk with you about this important funding source. For the record, my name is Terry Cothran. I'm the Associate Vice President of Workforce Development at the University of Alaska. And I also want to thank Ashley Carrick from Representative Wohl's office for assisting me today. I think she's going to walk through the slides. I'm just going to provide a brief overview of how we manage TVEP at the university and also provide some examples of what TVEP funds, along with the outcomes that it contributes to. And slide 2. UA is the most comprehensive provider of workforce development. We deliver 92% of post-secondary education in Alaska through 3 separately accredited universities and 13 community campuses. Third slide. UA manages its TVET funds as a single allocation to the UA system. The program is administered through a competitive RFP process by the UA Workforce Development Committee, which includes representatives from each university and statewide, as well as the Alaska Workforce Investment Board Executive Director. The funding is distributed as a result of a process that is inclusive of all campuses and programs in the UA system that meets the funding priorities listed here on this slide. We also request that the proposals demonstrate the ability to garner match funding and/or a plan for maintaining the program beyond TVEP funding. Specifically, TVEP is to be used as a short-term funding source to initiate or enhance workforce development programs. The process supports collaboration and leveraging resources across the university and state while maintaining flexibility to be responsive to industry and regional workforce needs. Next slide. As you can see, the FY19 UA TVEP allocations support high-priority industries in our state. You'll notice health received a large percentage, which is in alignment with it being one of the largest and fastest-growing industries in 2019. And in light of what we're experiencing in our current times, in retrospect, we're glad that TVEP has helped to support so many health programs across the state. There's also been great support for oil and gas and mining under the resources and energies category, along with support for fisheries, seafood, and maritime. You can also see on the graph on the right that funding is distributed across all 6 economic regions of the state. Next slide. These are UA's student outcomes for last year's TVET funding cycle. We served nearly 4,500 students I'm going to go through some specific examples of how TVEP supports UA's ability to be responsive to these high-demand industries. And please note, for every example, there are many more that could be shared across UA's programs and campuses. And also note that although TVEP is a critical funding source, it is not the only funding that the university invests to address the workforce needs of these industries. Next slide. Over the past 3 years, TVEP investments have expanded access to fabrication, manufacturing, and 3D printing to over 50 engineering students for hands-on projects and provided access to over 600 K-12 students during the summer for career exploration. We've been able to improve welding program alignment across UAA campuses from Anchorage to Kenai and Kodiak in response to industry and to support student transferability. Developed and delivered an online BS degree in occupational safety and health at UAA, and the program's first cohort of students graduated in 2019. TVEP funds have also provided support to lease shop and classroom space at the Fairbanks Pipeline Training Center, providing UAF process tech students the opportunity to work on state-of-the-art equipment, and investment in well-controlled training that helps industry and meet international mandates to prevent blowouts and promote safe drilling practices. And over the past 3 years, TVEP funding contributed to over 1,900 students completing programs or graduating with certificates and degrees that provide a workforce for the oil and gas industry. Next slide. Brian McCarty is one of many student success stories now working in the oil and gas industry. He decided to change careers from being a journeyman carpenter to a process operator. While in the UAF Process Tech program, he interned with Alyeska Pipeline to increase his experience. He's now on target to graduate this spring and already working for PetroStar at their new Fairbanks fuel terminal. Next slide. In mining, TVEP investments have contributed to the delivery of hard skills mine training camps at the only all-encompassing underground mine training camp in the world through UAS Mining and Petroleum Training Service. The program provides a semi-skilled workforce ready for direct employment, averaging 50 to 60 newly employed Alaskans annually, with starting salaries exceeding $72,000 per year. And TVEP also supported the development of dual enrollment opportunities through the Millwright program at UAA's Prince William Sound College in partnership with Valdez High School to meet local demand while also leveraging resources to partner on delivery with other campuses across the state. Over the past 3 years, TVEP contributed to the completion and graduation of 335 students in mining programs. Next slide. In healthcare, TVEP investments have contributed to high-demand health program development and or expansion in both urban and rural communities, including extending access to nursing programs through distance delivery. Investments in technology that are shared across health programs, student-centered services that are focused on promoting student success and increasing diversity in order to meet the growing demand for healthcare providers, and pre-medicine degree programs designed to qualify Alaskans to pursue medical and physician assistant degrees, as well as studies towards pharmacy, physical therapy, and occupational therapy. Knowing that healthcare is one of the largest industries in our state, we are working hard to meet the demand, and utilizing TVEP funding has contributed significantly to the success of graduating over 2,000 students in the past 3 years in nursing and health science programs, from paramedicine, dietetics, to dental assisting. Next slide. Approximately 82% of Alaskan communities are not served by roads and rely heavily on aviation as a primary source of transportation. To help address their workforce needs, UA has utilized TVEP for investments at the Community and Technical Colleges in Anchorage and Fairbanks for equipment and technology upgrades, along with the development of distance-delivered instruction for aviation maintenance apprenticeships. And over the past 3 years, TVEP has contributed to the completion and graduation of 327 graduates from aviation maintenance and professional piloting programs. Next slide. To wrap up these highlights, TPEP investments have also contributed to maritime program development and expansion that aligned industry standards, to resources that expand career awareness and connect students with maritime training and occupations, upgrades to keep equipment and technology current, and the development of maritime training that is portable to increase accessibility. For outcomes, since the publication in 2014 of the Alaska Maritime Workforce Development Plan, TVEP has been a significant funding source of maritime programs, which encompasses fisheries, seafood harvesting and processing, shipbuilding, repair and maintenance, and vessel operations. As these strategic investments increase, we have also seen an increase in the student completions of non-credit training and graduates from degree programs, averaging 3,000 annually over the past few years. Next slide. One more student success story. Sam Nostein completed the 7 months Alaska Seafood Processing Leadership Institute, designed to provide rising career personnel the necessary skills to advance in management. This program was developed in response to the seafood processing industry and employers identifying employees who have demonstrated leadership potential, like Sam, to attend the training. And many of these individuals find advancement opportunities within a year of completing the leadership program. Next slide. As our letter of support states, the University of Alaska strongly supports the reauthorization of TVEP. State funding, including TVEP, will continue to be critical to UA's ability to create pathways, deliver programs, and professional development to meet Alaska's workforce needs. And last slide, thank you very much.
Representative Sullivan Leonard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for Terry Cawthron, if I could please. As I look at the list of different groups that receive these particular grants for job development, you highlighted maritime TVEP investments. Can you tell me primarily where that training is? Is that AVTEC or is that in other areas of the state?
Certainly, through the chair, Representative Sullivan Leonard, AVTEC certainly is one of our partners and also a TVEP recipient who provides maritime training. At the University of Alaska, we have maritime training dispersed among several campuses across the state. Ketchikan is one of our key maritime training programs. Also, Bristol Bay campus out in Dillingham, Kodiak College, Homer campus through UAA's Kenai Peninsula College, Prince William Sound Community College, and as well as Matsu Community College. So it's dispersed across the state. We have 34,000 miles of coastline to cover and to help provide training for this important industry.
Okay, follow-up, Madam Chair. Thank you, I appreciate that. I guess what I was looking at too is a new addition to this TVAP funds for recipients, and we have the Kodiak Seafood Marine Science Center in Kodiak. Is that the same as Kodiak College, or is that something that would be competing maybe with other funds or even with Kodiak College itself?
Through the chair, we do have some individuals on the line from the university that can speak to other specific details about the Kodiak Seafood Marine Science Center, but to answer your initial question, that center is through UA Fairbanks College of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences, and we have programs offered through that center, primarily by Alaska Sea Grant. So as far as they've been in existence, and it's not a competition, it's a complementary training that they offer for seafood processing specifically.
Okay, thank you. Representative
Foster. Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And a question also to you, Ms. Cawthron. So the Kodiak Seafood Center, that's currently funded at least partially through the university, is that correct?
Through the chair, yes, that is correct. We have an internal process that I alluded to in my presentation, and there are programs through the Alaska Sea Grant that have received TVEP funding through our internal process over the years that are delivered through the Kodiak Seafood Marine Science Center.
And do you know how much the Kodiak Science Center there has received through the university? I guess my first question. The second question would be what their total budget is. I'm just trying to get an idea of how much the university pays for their entire budget through the TVEP.
Through the chair, we have some other individuals on the line that can probably answer that better than I can, and we can also get that information to you.
And who would be the person to maybe ask that question to online?
I believe UAS Provost Prakash is on the line, as well as Julie Queen from UAS.
Yes, we have Julie Queen online.
Hi, can you hear us?
Ms. Queen, yes. Ms. Queen, did you hear the question?
This is Julie Queen, the Vice Chancellor for Administrative Services at UAF, and I'm here with Provost Anutva Prakash. We did hear the question and can certainly respond.
That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, so for the, this is Anutva Prakash. I'm the Provost and Executive Vice Chancellor. Your question about the funding for the Kodiak Seafood Marine Science Center, the center is the center where we have four faculty and four staff members. It has been providing training, workforce development, supporting small businesses, and looking at the from the seafood processing side, from the marine science side, fishery support, and the budget for these from the TVEP side has ranged from in different years. Just the direct TVEP funding has been anywhere from $35,000 to $81,000 for the program. The overall budget for this program has been in the order of $1.3 to $1.6 million, $1.7 million.
Follow up. Thank you, Madam Chair. So in the conclusion on the slide deck here, it just says the university strongly supports the reauthorization of TVEP, and I would assume that would apply. I guess has the university taken a position on this newest version of the bill, which includes Kodiak Science Center? I guess what would be your position on the addition of that to the list?
Yeah, so from the university's perspective, the TVEP program has been really good for the university in supporting our workforce development. KSMSC has been a beneficiary of those TVEP fundings. We definitely are very supportive of the reauthorization of the TVEP funding and the continuation of it for a longer duration. We do have an internal process where we have a competitive process, and internally we manage these funds. And so any addition to the TVEP funding is going to support KSMSC plus other programs too. As for a separate line item, that I understand is a process, so I do think that funding on TVEP supports all these programs, and the programs are important, but this is a different split that has come up this time. And again, I understand that that's a process that follows.
And I guess maybe more of a statement, Madam Chair. So the addition of the Kodiak Seafood Science Center here, which was added in the last committee, and I guess I'd also be interested in hearing what the sponsor has to say. He was made a statement that he might be more supportive of the initial bill, but my concern here is in the last committee, the Kodiak was added, and what happened here is the Kodiak Science Center has been, to some extent, funded by the university, and in what's happened here is Kodiak Science Center has been broken out into its own separate line item here. However, the university's allocation did not was not decreased. So initially it was at 45% here. And under the new version of this bill, it would still be at 45%, but all of the other VocTech schools here are now taking a reduction, and I'm concerned about that. So with that, I guess maybe if we could ask the sponsor of the bill for his thoughts on that.
Through the co-chair to the other co-chair, Representative Foster, thank you for the question. The Kodiak Science, I know there's more than just those names. Seafood and Marine Science Center, thank you, is a facility. It's not a program per se. There is TVEP funding going into programs in that facility currently, as was referenced over the years. There are programs there. It was a new line item that I was a little apprehensive about, I'll be honest with you. So in order to fund that, that's why the percentage out of the unemployment insurance pool was increased from 0.16 to 0.18. That way, all the other recipients could take a deduction in their percentages, but because the overall pot of money was increased, their money would also increase despite losing a few percentage, fractions of a percentage point. It made it a little more complicated, and I preferred keeping the original line items in there of recipients with the original percentage breakout. I didn't want to see the university take a cut in their 45%, and as you saw from the earlier presentation by Ms. Carrick, they were at one point at 55 or 54, and over the years have been reduced because every time they add a new line item, they would take it out of the biggest recipient, which was the university, but the university funds a lot of programs. And again, it's my understanding there is a seafood processing component in TVEP that does receive funding. Could it be more robust? Could it be a bigger program? Sure. I think part of it has to do with how much they request. There was this Kodiak Center, again, as a facility and not a program in itself, and there were some other programs that were going to be stood up to receive some more TVEP money towards this goal. And as you saw in the slideshow by Ms. Cawthron, there was a seafood processing management component that they showed one of the graduates there. So, and I'm not an expert in all the intricacies of the funding of this facility, because Kodiak College is a UAA, falls under the UAA umbrella, and this Science Center falls under the UAF umbrella. So I think there's some competing funds going on, and I guess, in a nutshell, that's why I wanted to resume back to the original recipients with the original percentages. And also, going back to the unemployment insurance, I don't, at this time, want to increase the amount of draw from that pool, especially since we don't know what uninsurance demands are going to be in the future.
Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, Representative Wolf, just to be clear, the adjustment that was made in the previous committee is to a fraction of 1%. Am I right about that?
Through the chair to Representative Josephson, the adjustment to what?
The adjustment to the amount of the employee contribution.
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, the employee contribution wasn't changed. It's the amount of draw from the overall pool. So there's a pool of money, a pot of money that gets paid into by both employers, by employers. And 0.16 of that total pool goes into TVEP. The last committee raised that to 0.18 to increase the pot from 13.4 million to 15.1 million. And with that larger pot, they're then able to reduce the percentages of all the recipients a fraction of a percentage so that they could fund this last item on the list, the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center.
Follow up? Is the impact of this to take more out as effectively a surtax out of an employee's wages, or to take more out of the trust account, I guess, that houses the current draw?
Through the chair to Representative Joson, it was the latter. So it doesn't affect the employees' paychecks, and it's the draw out of the overall fund.
Okay, follow up?
Follow up.
And is it sustainable, in your view?
Through the chair to Representative Josephson, in the last committee, we heard that was from someone from Department of Labor, but I think in light of the coronavirus situation that we're under, there could be a lot more unemployed people here in the very near future. And I don't know if anyone's on the line from Department of Labor. We had a statistician or economist on with us last committee, but I don't know if he's online.
Sorry, I'm just looking to see if there's anybody online from the Department of Labor, and I do not see anybody online.
Madam Chair.
Yes?
Another question?
Yes.
I guess I'm confused. On line 7, which is the second line of the narrative, through the chair, Representative Wolf, it says that the amount collected from employees goes up. It has the clause, shall collect from each employee. Now, does that mean not in a literal way, because it's just referring to the amount in the account?
And while he's looking that up, I Hannah Lager is online, and she is the director of the division for the Department of Labor with OMB. Representative.
Through the chair, Representative Jefferson, I do see that line. I know the amount is capped, so that once they hit a certain amount, and that graph that Ms. Carrick showed earlier, right here, the portion of the wages is capped, which is sort of the average wage, and they recalculate that every year. But it was my understanding that it was the pool that was the draw was increased. But I don't know if there's someone DOL online.
Ms. Lager, did you hear the question?
Thank you. For the record, this is Hannah Lager, Administrative Services Director for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. I believe I did hear the question, and it's whether the payment from the employee actually goes up into the fund. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So under this legislation, the employee portion would go up. The employee portion of the TVET portion would go up from 0.16 to 0.18, but I believe it's Slide 4 of Ms. Carrick's presentation has a chart that shows the employee's paycheck would not ultimately be affected, but the distribution or the split in the employee's portion between TVEP and the unemployment insurance fund would change.
So, Madam Chair, it sounds like the sponsor was correct that the check to the unemployed person would decrease. That's what I just heard.
Through the chair to Representative Justin, I believe the portion that goes to TVEP increases, which therefore decreases the amount that goes to the unemployment trust, the unemployment pool. So the net result on the paycheck, there's no difference. Just of that money that is taken out, more of it would go to TVEP than would go to the pool of unemployment funds. And I believe Ms. Lager, if you can confirm what I just said.
Through the chair, Representative, that is correct.
I'm fine. Okay. Representative Merrick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair to Representative Wolf.
How many new institutions applied for this TVEP funding, and then how was the Kodiak Center chosen?
Through the chair to Representative Merrick, I think Terry Cawthron's probably a better person to answer the question of how many recipients applied. But I did want to make a note. So the TVEP funding is a non-competitive process. The recipients you're seeing on the chart in front of you, that's funding that they receive. The University of Alaska chooses to distribute their TVEP funds through a competitive process. So their receiving of funds is non-competitive, but then their distribution of it is through a proposal process. So the university can probably speak to who's applied in the past, what types of requests for funding have been received.
Can I follow up?
Follow up?
I guess my question is, it's my understanding that there are quite a few institutions that would like to be on this list, and I want to know how many have applied for that this year, and then why was Kodiak the chosen one to make the list this year?
Through the chair to Representative Merrick, as Ms. Carrick said, the application or list that's in the statute hasn't changed in several reauthorizations, so that list has stayed pretty consistent. As far as getting on the list, that's what happens in the legislature. So within the university TVEP allocation, they can distribute their money within the university system as they see fit, whether it's Kodiak College or many of the other, you know, pipeline training center, et cetera. So, but the other institution got on the list in the last committee. So a committee member added that to the list of the other ones that already existed.
Okay, thank you.
If I can follow up as well briefly through the chair to Representative Merrick. If your question is about, are there other programs that have asked to be included on this list in this reauthorization? There, other than the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center, our office has not received requests for other programs to be added to the list. However, I would note there is always discussion when TVEP is reauthorized from programs on this list about increasing their percentage. So we've definitely heard from programs across the state supporting their particular program and expressing, of course, their desire to receive a higher percentage.
Thank you.
Representative Foster.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Wohl, just curious if you know what the rationale was in the prior committee for them to essentially break out Kodiak from the university, and then instead of reducing the university, they reduced everyone else. Do you know what the thinking was behind that?
Through the chair, Representative Foster, to the extent that I can answer that, TVEP does fund programs in Kodiak, and I believe through Kodiak College, and Ms. Cawthron can speak to that. And this other item was the desire of individuals in Kodiak to fund a program at this particular facility. So it wasn't necessarily breaking it out of the UA allocation, because UA didn't necessarily fund that specific program at that center. UA did fund some programs in Kodiak, but I'm not sure that the exact program that was desired by individuals in Kodiak, and Ms. Cawthron maybe can speak to that more in more detail as far as the program that TVEP currently is funding in Kodiak.
Ms. Cawthron, do you have any anything to add to Representative Wohl?
Sure, through the chair, Co-Chair Foster. We do have some programs that have been funded through the Kodiak Seafood Marine Science Center that went through our competitive internal process dating back to 2012. One is the Alaska Seafood Leadership Institute, which I highlighted with a student success at the end of my presentation, and the other is a seafood processing training program. And then through, and that one started to be funded in 2015. And then during this year's process that we just have completed the initial review of all of our proposals, there was an additional request submitted that would help fund some coordination and additional curriculum development and training through the Kodiak Seafood Marine Science Center. And that has been recommended for funding, so it will go to the UA president as part of our process for approval. And I think from the Kodiak constituents, there is a desire, and from the seafood processing industry, for additional training. And that's something we can continue to work with them on through our process as well.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I guess the one question I had just now was, why was it taken out of everyone except the university? And so that would, I guess, lead to, I guess, one of two conclusions that I have, and that is, I would have preferred, if there's going to be a cut to some, it should be a cut to all. Everyone should be assuming the same share in terms of the reduction. But my preferred scenario would be, I share the same thoughts as this bill, the bill sponsor, which is I would prefer that we go back to the prior version of this bill. And that's just my thought. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not sure if the question is for the sponsor or for someone online. In the previous committee where this adjustment was made, did the different entities that have seen a 3.5% reduction as a result of the action, were they able to speak to the opportunity cost of their programs in specifics as to how they would see that 3.5% reduction impact their facilities?
If I may, through the chair, Representative Ortiz. What was done was they had a reduction in percentage, but because the 0.16 was increased to 0.18, they actually all saw an increase. So if you see in that column, it says, where's the pointer? That says increase. So even though their percentages went down, since the overall pot of money went up, their pot of money went up. So that was sort of the way to get buy-in on the decrease, was to actually give them more money. But as I'll state again, I don't believe we should necessarily be taking more out of the pot, because who knows how much unemployment insurance we're going to be needing here soon.
Perhaps it went by me, but with this addition to of the $290,000 for the Kodiak Center, did we hear quite a bit of detail at the lower community as to what that would buy?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, I think there was some facility fees, an employee or two. There wasn't a lot of program details that I recall coming with that fund.
Thank you.
And Representative Foster, do you have a follow-up to this?
Yeah, I do. Thank you. And I do want to acknowledge that by going from 0.16 to 0.18, everybody is getting a little bit more than they otherwise would, even with the reduction in allocation. However, with that said, over the years, and I've been here 10 years now, my local vocational school, which is Northwest Alaska Career and Technical Center in Nome there, they have argued that at 3%, they thought that was a low number for them. They have asked me for years if there's any way we could increase that allocation based on various metrics, including, you know, the census area that you serve and so forth. They always felt like their allocation should be larger and specifically 5% instead of 3%. And I said, well, we've got to be careful what we wish for, because if you crack this formula open and you start, you know, everybody wants a piece of the pie and everybody wants a bigger piece and everybody wants to add, and you're going to have a big food fight. And so we've had to hold back over the years. And so now that, you know, we are in the last committee of realizing it's not the bill sponsor, cracking this formula open and adding somebody here, it is creating some issues. And again, you know, we would like to have seen a bigger number, but with that said, we didn't want to rock the boat. And so what the thinking was in my speaking with a senator who is very near and dear to him on the other side, who's tied in with a lot of training, we talked about, well, if we could just keep this bill clean, increase the percentage slightly, that way everybody would get a little bit more, and that would take care of some of the concerns that they had about the funding. And so I do realize that, you know, smaller allocation, but overall bigger dollar number, but it's not as big of a dollar number as they were expecting prior to this going to the last committee. And so again, you know, I would have liked to have seen, if we're going to take a deduction, everybody take, you know, the same reduction. But again, I would just prefer that this be a clean bill. So thank you.
Representative Telton.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. So from listening to this conversation, and it's the understanding that the university pays out towards the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center already for some programs, and now we're adding the same center. So it is the intention of the university to continue to put money towards the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center, even though they will have their own separate allocation. And then my second question would be, what other entities here on our list that are delegated by statute does the university have as participants out of their 45%?
Ms. Cothran, would you like to address that?
Through the chair, Representative Hilton, I apologize. Can you break down your questions again, please?
Yes, thank you. My question was, if the university is already they take their 45% and they are parceling it out by competitive bid, or however you're doing that, and the Kodiak Seafood Marine Center is receiving some of those dollars, do you plan to continue to support the center with the part of the 45%, or now if they are going to be their own individual line item, will they be required to support themselves with the TVAP funds that they receive? That's question number one. Second question is, out of the 45% that the university receives, there are other entities listed here in statute. Does the university, are they part of these other entities? Do they receive funding from the 45% from the university besides what they are receiving by statute?
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Hilton, will we continue to support programs delivered at the Kodiak Seafood Science Marine Center through the 45%? We have that internal process, and that internal process has been successful, and we'll continue to receive proposals, and we would welcome proposals coming from any programs within the university. And regarding having them out as a separate line item, this is a new and chartered area for us as a university, and how that's been managed. And so we'd have to consider how best to do that and maintain the intent of TVEP to provide workforce training. And then as far as others listed in the statutes, we do partner with several of the providers that are listed as other TVEP recipients, but we do maintain our 45% of the funding within the university to fund TVEP programs that might partner and leverage resources with other TVEP recipients.
You're fine. We've already had a sectional Let's go to our fiscal notes. And Ms. Lager, would you like to give your fiscal note?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. So we'll start with fiscal note number 2, which is for the Alaska Workforce Investment Board. In this fiscal note, we have $4,690,300 that's included in the governor's amended, as well as $649,300 that's associated with this legislation. On page 3 of the fiscal note, we do have a chart that is slightly different than the chart that you guys were reviewing earlier about the individual allocations. This just is once we ran it through our formulas with our estimates what those totals ended up being. Moving on to fiscal note 4, which is for our workforce development component. This component has $80,900 that's already included in the governor's budget. This funding is used for technical assistance and reporting, so there's no change in this fiscal note associated with this legislation.
Are there any questions of Ms. Lager? Next, could we go to Miles Baker for the university's fiscal note?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay. For the record, Miles Baker, Associate Vice President of Government Relations for the University of Alaska. Before you, you have our fiscal note, which shows that under the new formula with the addition of Kodiak Seafood Marine Science Center, which has been pointed out, is a facility of the College of Fisheries and Ocean Science at UAF. So both the 45% of our traditional allocation as well as the new allocation that would be coming direct to KSMSC would flow through the University of Alaska, which raises our annual expectation for this program to $7,231.7. So the governor's amended budget already includes $6,225, but with the changes made in the prior committee, the FY21 appropriation to the university would increase by $1,006,500, which you should see there in column 1. And then as this is a 5-year reauthorization, those amounts are projected out to 2025.
Thank you. Are there any questions before we move on to Lacey Sanders with the Department of Education and Early Development? Are you ready, Ms. Sanders, to do yours?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
For the record, this is Lacey Sanders, Admin Services Director for the Department of Education and Early Development. Our fiscal note is fiscal note number 1 with OMB component number 2796. The governor's amended budget includes $553,400 for a grant funding that is distributed by the Department of Education and Early Development to the Galena City School District for the Galena Interior Learning Academy. This is based off the current statutory allocation of 4%. Based on the fiscal note increase in available revenue and reduce statutory authority from 4% to 3.860%, the Galena Interior Learning Academy would receive an increase of $41,600, bringing the total distribution to $595,000.
Are there any questions of Ms. Sanders? At this point, I'm going to open public testimony. And I see that Nicole Kimball is online. Could you please introduce yourself for the record? Are you online, Ms. Kimball? Is your phone on mute?
Yes, my name is Nicole Kimball with Pacific Seafood Processors Association in Anchorage. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, I'm online. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Your phone on mute? No, they can't seem to hear me.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
Do you have the meeting? Are you recording the meeting? Maybe you should turn the volume down from that, and then it'll be easier for you.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. My name is Nicole Kimball. I represent Pacific Seafood Processors Association in Anchorage, and PSPA represents major shoreside processing plants in Alaska. I appreciate, with all the other business you have in front of you, the Finance Committee taking this up. I appreciate the work that's gone into this bill to get the CS version of House Bill 235 you have in front of you today.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. To be very brief, I just want to say, we wholly support the CS as it stands. I think key to the bill is reauthorization through 2025. The seafood industry is a significant contributor to the state's economy. The largest direct private employer in Alaska creates almost $6 billion in economic activity in Alaska every year, but we can only do that and create that level of activity by having a sufficiently skilled workforce available in remote communities across the state. So we're constantly working as a sector to have more of those highly skilled, highly paid positions in this industry fulfilled by Alaskans. And one of the keys to this is having local, readily available training. So we've submitted a letter, it's in your records, looking not just for reauthorization, but for more alignment with the amount of seafood worker contribution to TVEP and when the funding spent on seafood training. So right now, I think, as you know, TVEP funds spent on in-state training for seafood processing is about 10% of the annual contribution. Basically, processing workers put in about $600,000 annually, and only about $60,000 is spent on seafood training. So this bill, I think, accomplishes reauthorization. It also provides a very slight increase to TVEP, which means all entities benefiting receive a slight increase. But I think it also ensures some of the TVEP funds go to seafood training, and implementing that through designating a beneficiary of the Kodiak Seafood Marine Science Center. I think the legislature is probably very familiar with the center. It was built in the 90s with a mission established by this legislature as research and training for the seafood industry. And it's the only seafood processing training plant in the state. It has labs and classrooms designed to be a hub for this kind of training. So it is a way to ensure that seafood industry training is pursued and not subject to any other process. So I appreciate the ability to comment, and I appreciate the committee's interest in this bill. Thank you.
Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, thank you for taking the time to call in. Next, we have David Reese, Alaska Business Education Compact. Are you there, Mr.
This is David Reese.
Thank you. Could you begin your testimony?
This is David Reese, yes.
Could you begin your testimony?
Okay. So, sorry, I'm sitting in a parking lot. Your meeting has gone on quite a while. I'm David Reese. I'm the facilitator for the Alaska Business Education Compact, which is a group of a little over 100 folks, educators and employers from across the state. We have a monthly forum that talks to those various parts of the group about partnerships for workforce development. We've also been supporters of the TVEP funding from the time of its inception back in 2000. By the way, I was on the Alaska Workforce Investment Board for that original inception of the program. We have folks who range from the North Slope to Ketchikan who talk and talk to each other about the ways to tie together the education systems and the workforce development needs. We're very cognizant of the regional training centers across the state, from the NACTEC and Ilisovic and the North, all the way down to the places in Ketchikan and the Southeast. The UI contributions have been of extreme value, not only in bringing new programs in and developing new folks for the businesses and industries, but also for providing upgrades as technologies change, as regions change, and as the needs of the state change. The TVEP has been instrumental in developing some transitional training for military graduates by offering both credit and training programs. It also is a key element for the secondary school dual credit program. So we start with kids in the schools, the secondary schools, and provide that overlap to get into the jobs earlier. Basically, the support of the Business Education Compact has been very strong for the TVET program. We see it as a real key for connecting for new employer employment, kids learning in schools. When I say kids, I'm talking about both secondary and post-secondary, as well as for preparing workers for occupations as they are designed and are developed over the years and as they change through the years. So just wanted to say that there's a large group of these folks who are in partnerships across the state who have really been rewarded by the TVET program in terms of getting things off the ground and getting employers, Alaskans, into Alaskan jobs.
Thank you very much. Anybody have any questions? I do not see any questions. Thank you for calling in, Mr. Reese. Next, we have Shannon Carroll from Girdwood.
Yeah, thank you. My name is Shannon Carroll. I'm representing Trident Seafoods. I'm a resident of Anchorage, and I'm calling to express Trident support for the CS version of HB 235. Trident is a family-owned company that operates 10 shore-based facilities in Alaska, ranging from St. Paul to Ketchikan. Annually, we employ an average of 6,000 workers in our facilities. We're also a member of the Pacific Seafood Processors Association and fully support the earlier testimony of Nicole Kimball. I'll try to be brief. I just want to add a couple of notes. First is the state's TVET fund sees a substantial contribution each year from seafood workers via their unemployment insurance contributions, approximately $600,000 a year. Yet training for our workforce is very minimal in the state, and the TVEP investment in our industry is about 10% of the annual contribution. I want to express that we have a strong need for skilled workers in our sector, and that we believe that funding for dedicated training for our workforce will allow us to hire more skilled Alaskans, and this ultimately impacts the long-term economy of Alaska's coastal communities and the state overall. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So quick question for you regarding your business and the training that you benefit from. Is this a partnership where your business provides funds or resources to conduct some of the training? And if so, kind of help paint the picture on what that looks like.
So I can't speak to all the programs that have kind of been conducted under the maritime or seafood category, but we have in Kodiak, we have worked with the Kodiak Fish Tech Center to provide some training opportunities and have either paid up front or through in-kind donations. So it is a partnership, and we work with Sea Grant and others for the seafood processor workforce and so forth.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Thank you.
Madam
oh,
Chair.
Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wonder if the gentleman can speak to
what potentially could be an increased draw on the unemployment needs of the industry. Unemployment, in other words, if people can't find work for various reasons, what kind of draw do you think that will put on the unemployment insurance pool?
To be honest, I'm not really able to really weigh that. I think that's definitely a policy decision that you guys are going to have to make. So I think it gets kind of technical as far as how that actually functions. I think we're certainly in support of trying to maintain a skilled workforce, which I think ultimately sort of benefits the unemployment pool by providing training opportunities so that people who lose their jobs can get back out to work and find fulfilling careers. But I certainly understand there are some trade-offs.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Carroll. Next, we have Doug Walrath from Nome.
Yes, for the record, my name is Doug Walrath. I'm the director of the Northwestern Alaska Career and Technical Center, also known as NACTEC, which is Nome's regional training center. My testimony today is in support of HB 235. I'd like to thank Representative Wohl and Ashley Carrick for their efforts on this bill. Since 2000, TVEP has provided essential funding support to a network of Department of Labor-recognized regional training centers, which provides autonomy and flexibility to meet the unique needs of each region's priority industries. I appreciate the forward thinking evident in HB 235, the version M with an increase in the unemployment insurance contribution from 0.16 to 0.18%. One concern I would share that would counter the impact of a UI increase is the addition of a new University of Alaska program while distributing the burden across the regional training center network. Selecting any given UA program as a TVEP recipient would set a precedent for legislative review of more programs in the future. I would contend that the Alaska Workforce Investment Board is better situated to review and recommend to the legislature future TVEP recipients, as there are guidelines for a basis of review from past action. In 2012, the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education approved an institutional authorization exempt status for Alaska's regional training centers and maintains an online listing of Alaska post-secondary institutions. University of Alaska programs are designated as UA, while the Department of Labor recognized class of regional training centers, such as AvTech and NACTEC, are designated as E for their exempt status. As I would present an inequitable basis for new and future UA programs as TVAP recipients, I'd recommend to strike the addition of the UA program identified in HB 235 version M. In conclusion, NACTEC supports the UI percentage increase of HB 235 version M with the five-year extension. TVEP is a solid program, putting Alaskans to work across the broad expanse of our large state, and I encourage your action to reauthorize TVEP in 2020.
Representative Ortiz has a question for you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Walrath. I was a little unclear as to your specific testimony. Are you speaking in support of TVEP distribution version M as we're looking at it on the screen here or not?
So of version M, from which I pulled online, speaking in favor of the unemployment insurance contribution increase from 0.16 to 0.18, but not to the addition of a new entity. The expense of what the regional training centers would absorb, and one element that hasn't been spoken to is that although it would appear that by increasing from 0.16 to 0.18 and then cutting the allocations for each of the regional training centers still results in an overall increase, that's near certainly not true. If you look at what's happening with COVID-19 and the economic downturn that's going to happen because the unemployment insurance contributions are a factor of folks employed. So when we've seen all the TVEP recipients would have seen from 2017 the actual amount of dollars coming to them from the downturn in oil and gas, a decreased amount in 2018, a decreased amount in 2019, and then in 2020 this year, finally an uptick occurred but hasn't returned to 2017 levels. So I would just want to make sure that point is clearly understood.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Walrath. Next, we have Paula Cullenberg from Anchorage.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Johnston. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay. To the Chair and members of the Finance Committee, thank you for your work. My name is Paula Cullenberg, and I am the Executive Director of the Alaska Research Consortium, which is a nonprofit that formed 3 years ago to support Alaska's seafood industry and the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center. We are the group that proposed the addition of the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center. And I'm calling today in support of the committee substitute for HB 235. The ARC board is composed of processors, harvesters, tribes, educators, and representatives of various groups who recognize the value of the seafood industry to our economy. We were really formed originally about 3 years ago when the University of Alaska was planning to close the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center. And the group really worked together to illustrate to the university that the seafood industry was an important part of our state's economy and needed training and research. We also offered to do a public-private partnership with the university to operate the center. The university ultimately decided to maintain the center, and actually the legislature was involved in that a few years ago House Resolution 10 in support of maintaining the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center. And in Title 16, the mission for the center and the design of it being built in the 1990s is clearly outlined in Title 16 as to support the state's economy through training and research in support of the seafood industry. We have been involved in a many-year struggle to try and realize that mission, and that was part of the basis for proposing that the TVEP funds be allocated directly to the center to provide that core and stable funding to actually build a seafood processing workforce development training program. The ARC is currently in the middle of a project to assess the needs of the workforce training by the seafood industry. The project's funded in part by federal EDA dollars as well as by industry match. To date, we've interviewed 43 plant managers or HR managers from 22 companies who operate plants in 22 communities in Alaska, and that represents about 16,000 workers a year in our state. Some quick results from that work, 87% of the plants surveyed that it would be helpful to have more training for their workers. Priorities include quality control, sanitation, ammonia refrigeration training, leadership training, supervisory skills, regulatory compliance, technical training on processing machinery, safety training, and others, and I'm happy to share the detailed results of that survey if you'd like to see them. The university has spoken that they have an open competitive process and that they have invested a small amount of TVEP funds to the seafood processing industry to date, and I think that's correct. I've been deeply involved in all of that as a retired Sea Grant director from the university, but the open competitive process has not worked to provide the core funding that's needed to actually build a program at the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center. And this has been a multi-year struggle for the lack of having this core funding to just hire a coordinator to build these industry partnerships that Trident, Shannon Carroll mentioned and to go forward. Recently, we did the legwork to bring a Botter technician training. Botter's a highly complex processing machinery trainer over from Germany to do a 40-hour training at the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center. The training cost $20. The industry paid the entire way of that training, but the important thing is to have this core funding to actually build the program. Given that the seafood industry contributes $600,000 a year to the TVEP fund, the request from the Alaska Research Consortium to have a dedicated fund to build that program seems like a reasonable amount here. And the agreement and the plan that was put together to take a small percentage to build that center and to start this program seems to be a reasonable thing to do. We really encourage you to support the committee substitute to support our state's largest employer and the long-term sustainability of the seafood industry and its contribution to all of our coastal communities and Alaska's economy. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Representative Foster.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Cullenberg, did you say there were discussions at one point to close down the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center? If so, when was that? How long ago was that?
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Foster, yes, that was in, I guess I'd say 2016-17 when the university was first facing some major budget cuts. And as I said, both the community of seafood processors and the community of Kodiak banded together and brought the president of the university, the chancellor of the university out, met numerous times. The university then proposed the concept of a public-private partnership to operate the center. The ARC was formed and became a 501c3 nonprofit in order to respond to that. Ultimately, the university decided to maintain operation of the center.
Thank you.
And that's good, and I think we feel really positive about that. The number of faculty, which is two, in the building, and the lack of staff support in the center, it's just impossible to build a program at that point, and there's no real relief expected to come from that.
Thank you. I don't see any other questions. Thank you very much for taking the time to call in. Last, we have Anisha Elby from King Salmon.
Good afternoon. My name is Anisha Elby, representing the Southwest Alaska Vocational Education Center, known as SAVIC. I am co-executive director. We're located on the King Salmon Air Force Base. I respectfully ask for your support in House Bill 235, reauthorization of TVET funds. We are a regional training center and a 501c3 nonprofit. We benefited from your TVEP training since we were added in 2005. We provide workforce training that has direct impact on local and Alaskan economy. We share your guiding principles of preparing Alaskans for Alaskan jobs and providing vocational education that's tied to the workforce. As you know, the commercial fishing industry in Bristol Bay has among the highest non-resident hire for Alaska. And even with the new non-hire numbers that came out in the last report, it still ranges in the 80s and 90% of Alaska non-resident hire. We have been able to leverage TVET funds with the local Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation, as they have added $250,000, which translates into providing money just for SAVIC's training, and they include anything related to fishing, support industry, and building capacity among their villages. So please reauthorize House Bill 235. I thank you to Representative Wool and his staff for working hard for us as TVEP recipients. And I ask that you reauthorize for 5 years at the 0.18 increase, but deleting the new Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center. Thank you. This concludes my testimony.
Thank you. Do I see a question? No, I do not see any questions. Thank you for taking the time to call in. Is there anybody in the room that wishes to testify? And I do not see anybody else online, so the public testimony is closed. I will have an amendment deadline of Tuesday, March 17th at 5 p.m. for this bill. Is there any committee discussion?
Yes, a quick question for the sponsor.
Yes, Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, Representative Wool, the $1.7 million that's shown as estimated funds available, those were dollars that previously could have been paid to unemployed workers. Am I right about that? On on the PowerPoint.
Oh. through the chair, Representative Joseph, sorry, I couldn't find the exact number you were pointing to. That would go into the pot.
Through the chair, Representative Joseph.
I want to analyze the table a little bit, but I just want to make sure I'm not including or discluding something there. But
what, if I could?
Representative Josephson?
What I don't know is at what point do we butt up against the amount available for unemployed workers?
Yeah. Through the chair, Representative Josephson, the difference in the two amounts between 0.16 and 0.18, I think is what you're getting at, would be the top numbers, 13.4 million and 15.1 million. So if that works out to be that 1.7, which it does, then that would be yes for the first question. As far as when do we butt up, one of the callers made an interesting point, which was the amount in that pool is determined by a few things. One is the percentage. The other is how many people are working and paying into it, and how many people are drawing out. So if there's fewer employees in the state of Alaska, then the fund will grow slower. If there's fewer people claiming unemployment, then the fund will shrink slower. Now what's happened is, for a while, there was less people working, but more people drawing it down because they were unemployed. And that's what he alluded to, that the fund was shrinking over some years. But then what's happened is some of those unemployed people have left. So therefore, they're not drawing it down as much. And then the fund went up a little bit. So, and I guess back to Representative Foster's comments about the food fight, or in this case, more of a seafood fight, is that if these percentages go down, but the pot of money goes up, it's everyone gets a little more money, albeit not as much as they maybe wanted, but they get a little more money. But if for some reason the fund goes down because there's not as many employed workers paying into it, or as what may happen here real soon, there's more unemployed workers drawing it down, which we can very much anticipate is going to happen here very, very soon with closures of restaurants, bars, schools, and so on and so forth. So I'd be concerned that the drawdown is going to increase, and also the pay-in is going to decrease. So even though right now it looks like some of these places might be getting more money, in the future they might be getting less because their percentage went down and the pot of money is getting smaller. So I don't know when we butt up against it. And there was an economist from Department of Labor in one of our previous committee meetings that testified. He's not on right now, but that's more of his area, I think.
Thank you. So Representative Foster?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question to the university, or comment than a question. My comment is I am concerned about the future possibility of other programs being separated from the university and getting their own line item, and yet the percentage to the university staying the same. I am curious, and if there's somebody who could maybe get me a list of the programs that the university currently funds that are, I guess, associated with this TVET money, the 45%. I don't know if there's two or three programs or 10 programs. I'm just trying to get a sense of what's out there and what in the future could potentially be peeled off into their own line. So thank you.
Thank you. And that is for the competitive programs within the university, correct?
Madam Chair, if I may just add one small point. The university did not see a decrease from 45% to 45%. However, over the years, they have seen other decreases. But the decrease the university did see, as we all know, was 25 million, 20 million. So the university is under their own pressures of cuts. And that's probably why just a few years ago, they were looking to offload that facility in particular. So I think there's other stresses on the university that's not evident in this chart.
And thank you. And with that, I'll be setting this aside. As I said before, amendment deadline is March 17th at 5 p.m. Our next meeting is Tuesday, March 17th, 2020, 9 a.m., and it's HB 121 with an amendment deadline of Tuesday, March 17th at 5 p.m., and HB 209 with amendment deadline of March 17th at 5 p.m. Do members have anything they wish to say before we adjourn? Then this meeting is adjourned at 5:07.